one goes to Mr. Jacob S. Richman. Dear Mr. Richman, thank you very much for your letter of June 9th regarding the Israel-Iraq situation. Let me assure you, there is no change in our relationship with our friend and ally, Israel. We shall not let an armament disparity grow in the Middle East with regard to Israel. We do, however, want to retain a credibility with the moderate Arab states in order to pursue the Camp David peace program, hoping that we can bring peace to that troubled area. To do that, of course, we must have the confidence of elements on both sides. Israel is aware of this and knows that we are not reevaluating our position, and we are not going to in any way lessen our partnership with our staunch ally, Israel. Thank you very much for writing. Best regards, Ronald Reagan. This one goes to a Mr. John, J-O-N-A Kaufman, K-A-U-F-M-A-N. Dear Mr. Kaufman, thank you for your letter of June 10th, and forgive my being so tardy in answering, but I've discovered it does take some time for the mail to get through our mailroom, which receives several hundred thousand letters each week. I understand your concern, and I'm very happy to have the opportunity to make things, I hope, a little more clear. There has been no change in our relationship with Israel, nor are we going to allow the military balance in the Middle East change with regard to Israel's ability to protect herself. She is, as you say, a loyal friend and ally, and we have a moral commitment which we will never abandon. With regard to the raid on Iraq, we have a law passed long before my arrival which prescribes that all military equipment must be used for defensive purposes only. Under that law, I was forced to say that we would have an investigation to determine whether the law had been violated. We therefore temporarily suspended delivery of the F-16 fighter planes. It is absolutely essential that we maintain credibility with the more moderate Arab states so that we can continue to work for a peaceful settlement in the Middle East, fair to all. Israel is aware of this, and indeed we were in constant communication by way of the Israeli ambassador regarding this entire matter. And Israel fully understands our position and what we are doing. I assure you, we will not abandon Israel. Thank you for your support in the election and for your generous words about our administration. very much for your letter concerning the MX missile. I just want you to know no decision has been made with regard to the basing of that missile. However, I share your concern about the one proposal that would take so much land area, the so-called racetrack basing method. Actually, the MX missile itself is thought of as a replacement for our aging Minuteman missiles and is defensive in the sense that its presence is supposed to be a deterrent to the Soviet Union using its superior military power to deliver an ultimatum or even an attack. I thank you for writing, and I assure you, we are going to give every consideration as to the best method of employing or basing that missile. Sincerely, Ronald Reagan. This one to Mr. W.L. Bradley, Jr. Dear Mr. Bradley, thank you for your letter and for giving me the opportunity to comment. I know that a great deal has been said and printed about some of the changes that we're advocating to reduce government costs. Before you make a final decision with regard to your own college career and that of your wife, I think you should wait until you have all the details on the college loan program. It is not being eliminated. What we are attempting to do is apply a means test so that some who do not have a true economic need will not be able to get these loans. The program will still be there for those of demonstrated need, and there will be a means test applied to help us determine those who are truly entitled. There has been a great deal of abuse of this particular program. As for the high interest rates, which are affecting car sales, home buying, etc., let me say we are distressed by those also. The high interest rate is not, as some have suggested, some plan of ours to fight inflation. It is indeed the result of inflation, and we are working as hard as we can to reduce that inflation rate so as to bring interest rates down. I wish you well and hope that you and your wife do not have to change your plans with regard to continuing your education. Best regards, Ronald Reagan. This one goes to Mr. Austin R. Trimmer, T-R-I-M-M-E-R, Jr. Dear Mr. Trimmer, I appreciate very much your concern with regard to Social Security and the unemployment situation. Let me assure you, our economic package is designed to stimulate the economy by reducing taxes, by hopefully increasing productivity so as to create more jobs and end the layoffs. I have been encouraged lately when I received a report from 15 of the major steel companies in this country that they are going to invest explain the situation and what it is we are trying to do with Social Security. I have reneged on no pledge. I said during the campaign that we would do nothing to hurt those presently dependent on Social Security checks, that we would not pull the rug out from under those people so dependent. I did say that I would try to restore the integrity to the program. As it is now, the program, without change, will run out of money for paying benefits to the present recipients sometime late in 1982. Beyond that, however, there is a long-range actuarial imbalance, which finds that down the road, in the next century, but within the lifetime of younger workers today, the program will be several trillion dollars out of balance. Our proposal was intended to resolve both the short-term problem and that long-range imbalance. We did not in any way affect the benefits of those presently dependent on the program. We did make some changes of people who are presently receiving benefits to which they are not entitled. The point, however, which concerns you has to do with reducing the grants for those who retire early. What the press never seemed to point out, however, was that our plan called for reducing the percentage of total grant the early retiree could receive from 80% to 55%. But the early retiree, by working only 1 year and 8 months longer, could, at some time in his 63rd year, take early retirement and get 80% of the full retirement benefit. Other points that were not made would have a greater effect for younger workers, in that the present law calls for the Social Security tax and the amount of income subject to that tax to increase several times between now and 1986. Our plan called for eliminating those increases, which are now more burdensome for most workers than the income tax, and even reducing, in the next couple of years, the present Social Security tax. This tax reduction alone to the beginning worker, the young person just starting in the labor force, working out to retirement age, would have $33,000 of additional income, which, if he put in savings to draw interest, would certainly give him a tidy nest egg in addition to his Social Security benefits. The program Congressman Pickle is suggesting, by contrast, would increase the age of retirement to 68. I don't know whether he would make a comparable increase in the early retirement age, but it would seem logical that such would happen, and remembering that 1 year and 8 months clause in our own recommendation, I believe that his program would represent a greater hardship, plus which there is no suggestion of reducing the payroll tax. It is possible that some people nearing age 62 and having made plans for early retirement would be caught in our proposal, and we are looking to see if we should change to a more phased-in feature, giving some warning to people who are, as I say, approaching 62. Let me add, under our plan, we would solve both the short-range problem and the long-range actuarial imbalance. You and I are in complete agreement at the same time with regard to the need to put the unemployed back to work so that they too are contributing to the Social Security Fund. And I believe the economic program we are advocating will do just that. I was president of my union for 6 terms. I served on the national board for more than 2 decades. I think I understand some of the problems of labor in America. I am shocked that the hierarchy of organized labor, so many of whom I know personally, are taking the attitude they are toward our plans to try and restore the economy. It is government's deficit spending, a debt now approaching $1 trillion, that is responsible for the slowdown in our economy. The answer to labor's problem is productivity that will make us once again competitive in the world market, prosperity for all. We cannot continue down the road of excessive government spending, taxes which are now taking more out of the worker's check than he must pay for food, housing, and clothing, and transportation. I will welcome any suggestion that will meet the problem we face of running out of Social Security funds in 1982. I don't know how any of us could even contemplate having to tell 34 million people dependent on that program that the cupboard is bare. Again, thank you for your letter, for giving me a chance to comment. Sincerely, Ronald Reagan. This one goes to John R. Gelsinger, G-E-L-S-I-N-G-E-R, Sr. Dear Mr. Gelsinger, thank you very much for your letter of June 12th. I can understand your concern regarding the tax proposal in view of the attacks that have been made on our proposal, both by politicians and by the news media. The charge that our tax program is not reaching the very people you are talking about is entirely false. And the attacks are pure demagoguery. Those Americans earning between $10,000 and $60,000 a year are paying 72% of the total income tax. our proposal will give them 75% of the total tax rate reduction. Our opponents are suggesting that the bulk of the tax cut be given to those down in the very bottom range and below $10,000 instead of evenly across the board to the entire middle class. We are opposed to this because we believe it is absolutely necessary to restore incentive to those people you yourself have mentioned who work and earn, pay their bills, send their children to school, support our government, the great middle class of America. They are the ones who, if given tax relief, will, through savings, provide the investment capital we need to restore industry in America. Our proposal also is going to wipe out the penalty in the income tax paid when husband and wife in the same family are both employed. In addition, we are going to provide that money devoted to a personal retirement program, even for those presently in a pension program, will be income tax deductible. I hope this gives you a better idea of what we're trying to accomplish. And again, I thank you for writing. Sincerely, Ronald Reagan. This one to Mr. R.L. Prior, P-R-I-O-R. Dear Mr. Prior, this is just a line to thank you very much for your letter of June 3rd, and to tell you the battle is on here in Washington, and we're going to do our best to restore some sanity to the government's fiscal operations, including a major tax cut. Best regards, Ronald Reagan. Well, this goes to a sailor. And I'd like the copy of this letter or the letter back. I think a few people around the Oval Office should see it. Dear Mr. Beirl, B-E-I-R-L, I can't tell you how much your letter meant to me. And I am most grateful for your taking the time and trouble to write it. Your words about your own attitude towards your job and the rebirth of pride and professionalism that you describe throughout the Navy has made me more proud than I can say. You are the best. I have never believed otherwise. And I'll do everything I can to continue giving you the support of the government you represent. Thank you all for what you're doing. God bless you. Sincerely, Ronald Reagan. This one to Mr. Leon J. Hart, H-A-R-T. Dear Mr. Hart, this is just a quick but very belated line to thank you for your letter regarding my visit to Notre Dame. You were very kind to write as you did, and I'm most grateful. I want you to know it was a warm and memorable time for both Nancy and myself. Having gone through the riotous days of the 60s as governor of California, I can't tell you what a thrill it was to address Yes, those fine young people at Notre Dame, and to have their warm welcome. Again, thanks, and best regards, Ronald Reagan. This one goes to Sam K. Farmer. Dear Mr. Farmer, thank you very much for your letter of April 21st. I'm sorry to be so long in answering, but I do find my desk gets very deep in mail. I appreciate very much your generous words and assure you that my creed is fight, not join them. And we're going to continue right down the line. We have secured passage in the House of our budget reductions. Now comes the hardest part, the tax reduction program. But we're going to fight again. I believe it is absolutely essential that we have this program in order to restore the vitality to our economy. Again, my thanks to you for your letter. I, too, enjoyed the friendship of General Bradley and feel his loss greatly. Best regards, Ronald Reagan. Well, now, let's send this letter to Miss Patricia Mullaney, M-U-L-L-A-N-Y, but it actually is a letter to her and another girl, and we'll trust her to pass it on to the other one. So the salutation would be, Dear Miss Mullaney and Miss Gant, G-A-N-T-T, I'm sorry to be so late in replying to your very kind letter of May 2nd. First of all, it takes mail some time to get through all of the mail room and the procedures and reach my desk. And in addition, there has been quite a bit of hard work for someone who is new to the job. Anyway, I want you to know how very grateful I am for your letter. It was more than kind of you to write as you did, and I appreciate your generous words. You make me very proud. At the same time, you warm my heart with your words about our country. Thank you again. Sincerely, Ronald Reagan. This one goes to a Mr. Neal, N-E-A-L, Retzler, R-O-E-T-Z-L-E-R. Dear Mr. Retzler, thank you very much for your letter of April 20. I'm sorry to be so late in replying, but things just seem to pile up in this job. I want to thank you for your letter, and thank you for your very generous words about myself and this job we're trying to do here. Thank you also for your prayers. I believe in them, and they give me strength. I am completely recovered now from the episode of March 30th and feel just fine, and even better as I read your heartwarming letter. Give my regards to your wife, Jean, J-E-A-N-N-E, and to little Jennifer, J-E-N-N-I-F-E-R. Again, my heartfelt thanks. Sincerely, Ronald Reagan. This one goes to Mrs. Paul Miller. Dear Marion and Paul, just a quick line to answer your letter of May 15th, to apologize. apologize for being late in answering, but to tell you also how much I enjoyed hearing from you. Thank you very much for your kind words. I agree with you. I don't think our children are being given the lessons in patriotism that we received. And I think it's something we must take care of. Now is the time, because I sense a wave of patriotism and a hunger for spiritual revival all over this land. Nancy sends her best, as do I. God bless you both. Sincerely, Ronald Reagan. This one goes to General Victor H. Krulak, K-R-U-L-A-K. Dear Brute, P-R-U-T-E. I am sorry to be a month late in answering your letter, but just wanted you to know how homesick you made me when you told about all of you being there at Owl's Nest. I appreciated the snapshots very much. Thank you and all of Owl's Nest for the honor you are doing me this year. I enjoyed your columns and must tell you, number one, I don't approve of the racetrack concept for BMX, but I think I would like to continue the volunteer force and see if with some of the improvements we've made, we can't make it work as it used to. There are some very hopeful signs. We are getting a great flood of recruits, and many men who had served and left the service are coming back and re-enlisting. But more than that, there seems to be an upgrading in quality and a new morale, an esprit de corps that has been lacking for some time. Anyway, let's try it for a while and see if it doesn't work. The other night, we went to the ceremony out of the Marine barracks here. It was a thrilling thing. It made you want to stand up and salute and sing the national anthem, anything else you could do. They were magnificent. And when the very intricate performance of the drill team was over, I was amazed to discover that the bulk of them are in their first year of service. They average between ages 18 and 19. Well, Brute, again, say hello to everyone for me. And I'm going to spend a very bad couple of weekends in July wishing I was you-know-where. Sincerely, Ron. This one goes to Mr. Tom Kelland, K-E-L-L-A-N-D. Dear Tom, I'm pretty late in getting back to you, but just wanted to thank you for sending the letters, which did awaken a lot of nostalgia. It was good to hear from you. And you also made me a little homesick for those nice relaxing days we used to spend with Loyal and Edie there in Phoenix. Take care of yourself, and again, thanks. Sincerely, Ron. This one to Mr. Gordon C. Luce, L-U-C-E. Dear Gordon, I'm a long time getting back to you in regard to your letter. I just wanted to tell you how good it was to see you both and how much I appreciate your letter erasing of the suspicion that has always seemed to exist between our two countries. I share your concern about the interest rates, and for the life of me, don't know what we can do about them other than to continue to bring down inflation. They are not a part of our policy, and sometimes I wonder about the independence of the Federal Reserve. I think we have some things in the tax program now. If we can get it through the House in fairly decent shape, that will be of benefit to the thrift institutions and to savings in general. We've seemingly won the budget battle. Now we have to go all out on the tax battle, and that, I'm afraid, is going to be harder. Some of our Democrat allies on the budget don't feel the same way about tax cuts. Nancy sends her love, and give our best to Karen, K-A-R-E-N. And again, it was good to see you. I hope we'll see you again soon. Best regards, Ron. This one goes to Mr. Pat O'Brien. Dear Pat, I have your letter, and once again, I'm awash in the warm memories of our day at Notre Dame. It was wonderful to be there with you, and the whole day was one of such warmth and sense of welcome. It will be remembered for a long time by both Nancy and myself. Nancy sends her love, and please give love from both of us to Eloise, E-L-O-I-S-E. We both hope our paths will cross again very soon. Love, Ron. This one to Mr. Thomas M. O'Brien. Dear Tom, just a line to thank you for your letter and to tell you I'll pass your ideas, both with regard to drugs in the service and the MX, on to Cap. I can tell you I'm not enthused about that racetrack idea for the MX, and while no decision has been made yet, I don't think Cap is either. You recommended Bill for the court. I don't think Bill wants to do that. But I must tell you this. He is out in front of the press now with regard to the job he's doing as Deputy Secretary of State. You'll remember they gave him a hard time when he was first appointed. Well, they're eating their words. Now, he's really doing a great job. Please not to worry about me and the wound. I'm really back in shape, normal weight, exercising regularly, and taking my vitamins. Thanks for the suggestions about the military, and I will follow through on them. Best regards, Ron. This one goes to Mr. Alan Drury. That is A-L-L-E-N-D-R-U-R-Y. Dear Alan, I have waited to answer your good letter of June 1st until I could complete reading sometimes I had to force myself to turn out the light. I enjoyed that book so much. You know, all the others that I read, I was, of course, an outsider to Washington. It was quite something to read this one here in the White House, where I have the problems faced by the principal in your book. Nancy is now going to get a chance to read it, but I told her I had to read it first because I was learning how to be president. I very much feel you have come close to the truth as to what perhaps my problems will be. Now, however, let me comment on the other reading. Your letter, which I have just finished reading again. As you know, I have twice been a visitor to Taiwan, met with President Chiang, and before him, his father, the Generalissimo. Some of the names you mentioned are familiar to me. I was, of course, greatly disturbed by the Carter move. I think it was unnecessary, and that he could have obtained an improved relationship with the PRC without betraying our longtime friend and ally. I am going to continue a policy of trying to improve relations with the PRC, but in no way at the expense of Taiwan. I have taken steps not to downgrade, but to increase the relationship between our two countries, in that we have communication at high levels with the Taiwan Commission once the embassy here. The information you have given me in your letter is going to be most helpful to me, particularly with those diplomat types whose first instinct is to look for a way out. Nancy sends her very best regards. And again, I thank you for your book and for your letter. Sincerely, Ron. I'd like to have this letter from Mr. Drury.